The Victorian Country Hour with Warwick Long on ABC Radio Victoria.
Countries that don't grow much barley are signing up to watch Australia's case against China at the World Trade Organization. Australia's taken China to the World Trade Organization, the WTO, over its decision to place tariffs of 80% on Australian barley in 2020. Jeffrey Wilson, a research director of the Perth US Asia Institute, who is following this case closely, says a number of countries are also signing up to watch on.
Yes, so the WTO case has now been formally impaneled, which effectively means they've appointed the three judges who are going to sit on the case. And as part of that, you also nominate who is going to be a third party, so other countries that are going to be sitting in the courtroom at the same time. This is a bit different from what we might be used to in one of our courts where there's a prosecution and defence, because in Geneva, the third parties are also participants. They get to respond to evidence, make arguments and raise questions. So these other 13 countries are actually active participants, not just passive observers.
So even though the dispute is between Australia and barley and Australia and China, I should say, and they'll mount the bulk of the arguments in the case, these other countries can put their point of view on specific things as the case progresses.
Yes, they can make statements asking questions in support of or dissenting from things that are put forward by both Australia and China. So it's a bit different from what you'd be used to in a kind of adversarial Australian courtroom.
What is interesting about the 13 countries that has signed up to watch this case?
It's very interesting because it's all of the major world economies and many countries that are Australia's friends. Now, it's not uncommon for countries to join these WTO cases as a third party, but it would usually be where you have an interest. So if you're a barley exporter, you might be a third party because you've got a stake in what the rules for barley are going to be after the case. But we've seen a whole heap of countries join up, like Japan, the EU, the United States, New Zealand, but don't have an iron in the fire or around a particular commodity. The reason these countries are joining up is they care about the principle at stake, which is this issue of whether countries can use dubious anti-dumping rules to try and lock out other countries' products. So we've really got a large group of interested third parties who are wanting to see this as a test case for whether China can do this kind of trade coercion thing in other industries in the future too.
So it's so these countries are watching even though they don't produce barley because it might make a legal case or a precedent on something where they might be affected with trade with China.
Absolutely. Japan's not there because it's interested in barley. Japan's interested in using these kind of coercive or trade punishment things through these anti-dumping duties.
Has Australia asked its friends to be involved in this case, or are they doing this of their own volition?
There's certainly been a lot of diplomacy around China's trade bashing of Australia over the last 18 months. Australian government's made representations to lots of friendly and like-minded countries around the world. And we've had supportive statements issued by the Japanese government, the American government, even on occasions EU trade officials as well. So we've certainly seen a lot of backroom diplomacy designed to kind of get a coalition together to take up this case. This means that it's bigger than just our barley any longer or any of our other cereals. It's actually going to become an international test case for are countries allowed to do this kind of thing. It could be in other commodities, it could be to other countries or not even farm sectors in the future. So it's really become a global precedent-setting case over can you use trade to bully other countries.
Do you know if that's a good thing for Australian barley producers who are angry about these tariffs in the first place, that they're now suddenly this international test case?
It will make the process more complicated because it's going to be a pretty packed courtroom. But the reality is this is a big deal and it also supports Australia's position. These cases are very complicated. If any of your growers listening in have gone and had a look at the official case files, there's over 20 different points of law that are being adjudicated over this process. And having a lot of other countries with different experiences, their own people, their own industries, their own trade lawyers, really means that you've got a lot more support in that case. Whereas 18 months ago, last May, it was a couple of Australian growers and a few officials from the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. There's now a lot more people, a lot more sets of eyes and a lot more arguments on this. So it's effectively a form of, you know, in-kind support coming from a much larger group of people. The industry is not on its own having to have this fight any longer.
How long is it expected to take?
This is a very complex question. Officially, it's supposed to take 9 to 12 months from once the panel's composed, i.e. now the the magistrates are appointed. But in practice, cases in Geneva, there is a huge backlog. They're routinely taking twice as long as that, unfortunately, at the moment. I think once you then add all kinds of issues with COVID and international travel, like good luck getting the Australian lawyers to Geneva and back on a flight at the moment, it's probably going to run for the rest of this year, all of next year, and I'd probably see this getting somewhere in the first half of 2023.
If the ruling goes against China, will the nation respect it at all?
Well, it's been an interesting development here because there's another problem going on in Geneva where the appeals court, so if you think of an appeals court in Australia, the same kind of thing, hasn't been sitting for the last 12 months because they haven't appointed enough judges for the appeals court. And this has led to a problem where if anyone in Geneva loses a WTO case, you just automatically lodge an appeal and it disappears off into the void. And so you can escape a bad outcome by just appealing and then deal with it later. But there has been an interesting development where the Australian and Chinese governments have agreed not to do that and to use a kind of secondary arbitration mechanism if there needs to be an appeal, which is a really good sign. You know, after 18 months of fire and fury in terms of diplomacy towards Australia from China, the two governments have actually said, look, are basically saying, look, if this thing goes through, we agree to sort it out and abide by the ruling and not take advantage of this appeal off into the void tactic. So what happens, of course, when the decision comes down is another question, of course. But given what we've been dealing with over the last year and a half, this is a really good sign in terms of both sides saying, OK, we're going to agree to the court's ruling.
There's your update. That is Geoffrey Wilson, who is a research director with the Perth US Asia Institute, speaking there about, well, the Australian case at the World Trade Organization over Bali, and he thinks it mightn't be until 2023 until we see a resolution to that case because there's so many different countries involved, many of which, as you just heard, don't even grow barley.
On ABC Radio Victoria, you're with Warwick Long for the Victorian Country Hour.